was that it was very dark.
Oh, it's
all right. We're ready.
Do re mi.
I had some friends named Chris, Robin, and Rob. They used to steal and gamble and rob. They thought they were the greatest podcast around. But Robin went off to be funny and Rob to make lots of money. They left poor Chris crying all over town. He's on the Ramblecast now. He's on the Ramblecast now. Well, I told him with a sigh, you gotta talk some jive with the other guy. He's on the Ramblecast now. Hi, yodle, hee. Well, I knew some guys named Matt and Jack. They used to yell and talk some smack. They said that sports talk was their favorite game. But the Colts didn't get much farther. And Spano smoothed the Chargers. And after that, Jack was never the same.
Fuck you, Spano.
They're on the Ramblecast now. They're on the Ramblecast now. Well, I told them with a sigh, come talk some jive with the other guy. They're on the Ramblecast now. Hi, yodle, hee, yodle, hee, la, la, yodle, hee, yodle, hee, yodle, hee.
There you go.
Excellent. If you'd like to become a patron,
that's pretty good, dude.
You can go to patron.com.
Yeah, okay. Comes in there, and I'm like, hey, shit, he's singing about me.
So, not to put Chris on the spot. Excellent song, by the way. That might be your best.
Yeah, that one too.
I say this
every week. It's like an origin story there, yeah. You know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah. I try to be creative when I can.
But I'll put Chris on the spot. Which podcast was your favorite to do? The Junkyard or the Ramblecast?
Yes.
Which was less stressful?
I'll tell you what's less stressful. The Ramblecast is definitely less stressful. Because we put like a lot of like, so here's the greatest thing about the Ramblecast is it is what it is, right? Like if we're going to go full Belichick on this.
Is that a compliment?
I'm going full Belichick. Like it is what it is.
The next podcast.
We're done recording the Ramblecast, we're on to next week. Right? It's one thing. We get together every week. We sit down with no time to prepare and sit in front of our mics. Well, maybe there's some preparation on Nick's side because he put that song together, right? But like we sit in front of the mics and we just.
I have to sign in the account. That takes me a couple minutes.
Okay, so Chris has no preparation from week to week. You got that?
None.
Matt has to do drawings.
Matt draws.
Yeah, I was actually prepping.
It's like third grade art class for Matt. I mean,
I was prepping this one for this.
Would have bust out the crepas.
So, possibly this one. I don't know. So
that's wild.
Anyway.
But on the other hand, so we have a lot of fun every week, and we get in front of the microphones. We just shoot the shit for however long we do. The difference between that and the Ramblecast is that there was a significant amount of work that went into it, and I didn't do half of it. Like the small responsibilities that
so
I.
So basically, had. You're the same every podcast.
Yeah, yeah,
as little as possible.
But the little responsibility that I did have, like we're busy people, so to have the time to put into that. But like we with my other podcast, can I name it?
Yeah,
Media Junkyard. You know, we did quite a bit of prep work and on location work. We did like tons of shit, right? And you know, from interviews to press junkets to covering different conferences and stuff. It was there's a lot more that went into it. It was a different like it was a different type of work.
I just had a great idea. What if we had the remaining members of the Media Junkyard join us for an episode on the
They're still all alive
on the Ramblecast.
Yeah, they're all remaining.
Well, I'm just saying, Chris, remaining. You're here.
Yeah.
I mean, was anyone heard from Rob in a while?
Rob Francesini?
Yeah, I mean, have we heard from him? Do we know he's alive?
I've been just keeping updated from his his pictures on the old Facebook, and
I'm just kidding. No, but how you think we could get that? That would probably be a cool podcast, right?
Wait, are you announcing that you're trying to get the old band back together?
I'm just saying for a one time thing.
For $5,000,
I will give well, you it an worked, answer. It in
worked.
Minutes.
It worked for doing Darmalars for the for the charity thing, because we made about $4,000 during that segment because someone kept lying saying we hadn't reached our goal the total, and I don't know who that was. Might have been me. But I kept saying, "Oh, we're not there yet," and people just kept pouring in money and pouring in money, and it was for a great cause. So I don't mind lying when I have to. Maybe I should run for office. It's for a great cause. Me to get a nice health care and nice paycheck. And well, I wouldn't have to do any work right now and still get paid, so that'd be okay.
Well, not everybody.
No, I'm saying if I was a member of Congress.
Sure. Yeah, that's what member of Congress, yes.
Yeah. I'm not saying everybody. Everybody else, it sucks. Oh,
yeah.
But I'm saying... a member of Congress.
So should we do anything different or special if we can get the band back together?
Well, they can get all prepped and do all the prep work and we'll just show up.
and proper Ramblecast like form. Yeah.
There's literally no reason to change it up. Right? Our philosophy, I think it works.
I think we could put on our best pants, you know, maybe Nick will have another song, you know.
Matt will shave again. So
that was mentioned prior to us recording, but I did shave. I asked the guys last week and they body shamed me, so I decided to go ahead and shave it.
Nobody body shamed you.
It was pretty close. So
you said you looked ridiculous, but
that was never said by you. Actually, I asked the guys when you were off.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I just said that. Yeah, maybe you just thought that. That's
maybe I said for it. God, this guy's got to shave that thing. It looks ridiculous.
I liked my mustache. I kind of miss it.
It was great. It reminded me of being in the 70s.
Thanks.
The first cut is the
deal. All right, so I just texted the old guys to see. I said, gentlemen. Jack just flat out asked during our recording of the Ramblecast. I'm currently recording as I type this for a Media Junkyard to jump on an episode of Ramblecast for a reunion. What say you? Now, let's make some predictions. First to respond,
Robin.
You think Robin? Yeah.
Robin. Yes, dude, Robin totally. Is a podcast whore.
Wow.
You know what? I've heard that. I won't say that out loud, but I've heard that.
He knows it. Like, it's a self-proclaimed.
Okay. You know, to be fair, Robin is both a male and a female name. I really thought that you just called this Robin out. That's okay, you know.
No, Robin is a dude.
This is Rockin' Robin.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Or if for those old school Media Junkyard listeners, El Robinero, when he gets really fired up.
Oh, yeah.
And then Colkey and Rob, we'll see what they have to say.
I think Colkey will be second, and Rob will answer you sometime next week.
Yeah, Rob won't even go on the show.
Because what I like about Rob is when we used to have those production meetings. Remember those? We used to have them once a month, those production meetings.
Oh.
And Jay would send out a notice who's coming, who's not. Rob was always quick to say no on those.
Yeah, the first to decline the meeting.
I don't think I ever saw Rob at one of those, actually.
That's like, what I'm saying. Okay. He does a lot of work behind the scenes. I'm just giving a hard time.
And
I don't think he's a podcast whore.
Who'd have thunk
a production song? Whore.
Yeah, production. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk a song I just wrote in 5 minutes would have spawned a reunion? I moved.
Yeah.
It just hit me. I said that would be fun.
If we could pull this off, it would have to be a live show. Like we'd have to get it up on. Would we keep that for just the patrons?
Well, I'd say maybe we make that a patrons show, but then we release it to everybody.
Yeah, of course.
You mean like a patrons first show? Of course.
What if they respond? They're like, "Fuck you! I'm not."
Well, you really think Robin's going to say fuck you to that?
No, not at all.
Robin's probably trying to get on right now. What's the password?
I'm ready.
I haven't talked to any of these guys since Jay's last...
Bar mitzvah.
Yeah, that's what it... Yeah. Not bar mitzvah. What do they call it? Christening or whatever they call it.
Oh,
Rob,
baptism.
Rob does the chatterbox once a month, so he does still podcasts.
Really? I've talked to Colk off and on, but Rob and Robin I haven't heard.
Because Colky is the godfather of my grandson, my youngest grandson, Alex, who just started walking.
Oh, yeah, I saw. Yeah, Colin put a video up.
I think he's drunk, but he just started walking.
Hey, well, he was very happy about it, so he could have been drunk, yeah.
Alex told me he thinks you're drunk.
Well, you know what? I don't deny it. I walk like I'm drunk, so, you know, it is what it is. That kid's always smiling. The kid is always smiling. Except when he's crying. Sometimes he does cry and you look at him like going, is he crying? Really? He's crying? Because we just got my oldest daughter just went back to work. She's a teacher, special ed teacher. And she just went back to work. So we have my granddaughter again. And the first time around was a little, because she was colic.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know about anything about colic, they cry a lot. It's a
pain in the balls is what it is.
Oh my God. And I think I said on this podcast a couple of times she broke me. I mean, I was ready to go in a corner and cry because the crying was for 10 hours straight. I'm holding her the best I can. And now she just looks at you. She's happy. I kept telling my daughter, I said, once she gets off the formula full time, she'll be fine. And now she's eating prunes and banana stuff and, you know, the baby stuff that's all mushed up. But we had her today and she was fine. And she loves You're Welcome by The Rock.
Oh, yes. I remember us discussing that song.
She will get a bit. I put it on my computer and she gets the biggest smile you've ever seen. So we have both of them tomorrow. We have Smiling Alex and Smiling Ava Rose tomorrow. So we'll see if they both are smiling. Because Alex's one thing is he doesn't like when my wife holds another baby. I don't want to say mama's boy. That's kind of rude. But he's clingy to Colleen. So you can call it whatever you want. And anyway, so when my wife holds him, I can hold Ava and there's no thing. He just looks at me like, no big deal. But if Cindy's holding Ava, he gets all jealous and all bent out of shape. So I'll be holding Ava a lot tomorrow. That's my Thursday.
Nice. That sounds like fun.
It is.
Yeah. So.
They all go, what are you complaining about? You want a grandkids. I go, yeah, but not every day.
Not all at the same time. Yeah.
No, I it's really commendable though, Jack. I mean, I remember those baby rearing years. Of course they were my kids, but just, you know, I was the stay at home dad and had a lot of that responsibility that, you know, and it is, there's a lot that goes into it. So, and during that period of time, you know, if you're at home, although my situation different, but you know, it was like I was constantly cleaning diapers and, you know, doing the dishes and getting things prepped.
You're like, you look at, did you poop again? What the hell?
And just by the time you think you get a little bit of headway, it's like with
and am I right? There's nothing worse than baby poop.
Oh yeah.
Nothing.
I don't know. Well, I guess it depends
Matt's
on the
mustache,
vomit.
Maybe, but the rest.
Oh, Jesus, what? Really? My mustache?
I'm joking with you. Lighten up, Frank.
I mean, I realize it was no Catholic here, but you know, it's still. I mean, I
apologize. Apology. I'm watching Spartacus again. Apology.
I think my wife put a hit out on it actually. So she paid another faculty member at school to say something to me about
it. Oh, really? Because someone called you out.
Hey, when you're applying for a job, you know, and the head of the faculty department says something. Although I learned the next day that he was actually joking with me.
Are you teaching art or porn?
No. No, he didn't.
Aren't they one the same? Porn is art.
Didn't say that. So.
Yeah. I mean, Matt was auditioning to be the male model, and the guy was like, "I like you, Matt, but you gotta lose the stash, you know, if you're gonna get this gig." The '70s model just isn't there anymore. You know,
well, I think it's coming back though, isn't it? Except on Magnum PI, he doesn't have a mustache.
What
a shame. He may have a Media Junkyard news update.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's just put it this way.
Robin's
I was not correct in my prediction.
Oh.
But first? I'm not going to reveal until we have full confirmation.
It must be Rob.
We did have a response.
Okay, well, that's good. From all of them?
Nope.
Okay, just one.
Mm-hmm.
It was mainly pukey face thumb down.
it's from Jamie.
I will say one of the comments that were made by the person who did respond says, what day/time do you record?
Well, okay, they don't know us, do they?
We really don't have a schedule. We kind of figure it out at the beginning of each week.
Yeah.
And the response to that was, sorry, I can't make it that day.
That is how we make the schedule, because I'll go, I didn't send it out Monday. I said, oh, I forgot. And I said, I'll send it out Tuesday. And we pretty much decided on Wednesday right away, though, right? That was the quickest,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like I said, we wanted to do Thursday, but I said it's up in the air. And then I found out this morning that I have to work Thursday night. So I was like, okay, let's do Wednesday, which is tonight.
It's really based on Chris and Nick and my...
Yeah, my schedule.
Yeah, I don't have anything planned.
My real life schedule is whacked out. So this happens to be an abnormal week for me. I had today and the next 4 days off. So.
Really? Oh wow!
You know, what sucks is we've been talking for 10 minutes. Well, Nick's song was an hour, but we haven't even talked about the Patriots going to the Super Bowl again.
I wasn't going to be the one who brought it up. I don't want to sound braggadocious.
Well, yeah. I was rooting for Kansas City.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm one of those guys. I'm sick of the Patriots, but you know, you gotta respect them.
No, I don't. I have no respect for them. Sorry, Chris, not gonna watch. Like, okay,
I'm rooting for the Rams.
I'm tired.
Hoping for a day in the future in which your teams are actually good enough to get there, rather than have to worry about a team that's already there.
I rooted for your team the week before. And it paid off.
Focus more on hoping that your team can be good enough to get to the big game.
But
rather than focusing on betting against a team that's really good.
But I even said something on your wall or whatever they call it on Facebook. I said, yeah, but you know, Brady's the greatest of all time, but he was this close to people saying he should retire. Because he wasn't great in the fourth quarter. I mean,
he had that comeback.
He was pretty fucking phenomenal. Man.
You know what? I hate to say this, but I could have done that in the fourth quarter against the Chiefs.
Sure.
Defense is terrible.
It reminded me of the AFC Championship where the Colts beat the Patriots, but they hung in there a little bit longer.
I mean, what's the guy's name? I feel bad for him, but he lined up offside. He didn't just line up offsides. He was basically in the Patriots backfield.
And everyone, what's his name? What's the douchebag coach?
Andy Reid's
like, well, usually we get a warning. You know, it's like, dude, he was literally lined up next to the running back.
Because the first from the NBC, no, it was CBS. You couldn't because Tony Romo wouldn't call all plays. Anyway, I like Tony Romo, but he needed a cold shower. But you really couldn't see it, but they released another from a fan's perspective. I said, oh, my – how the fuck does he not know? I've never understood it anyway, how someone lines up offsides with the – you just have to look at the football. Okay, or the blue line that goes across. I know it's not there.
It was egregious.
He was at least a foot and a half over. But, you know, if he's not offsides, the Patriots lose the game. And they lose on a Tom Brady interception. So we're not talking about the greatest of all time. We're talking about, all right, he had two interceptions in the final 6.5 minutes. This guy's got to retire. He doesn't have it anymore. They were lucky to beat the Chargers. You know, the whole crap it would have been.
I don't know. I mean,
oh come on.
I think the hysterical media of people, because the media loves to hate the Patriots because it's like it's news. Right, like,
well, they hate the Patriots.
Do you honestly think that Max Kellerman actually feels that way about the Patriots, or do you think he's doing it just to get ratings for ESPN?
Oh, I'm sure.
They all
do it for ratings. There's
headlines all the time that just
it wouldn't have tarnished him.
It wouldn't have tarnished him, but the talk would have been talk about there would have been talk. He needs to retire because I'll be honest with you, the Edelman thing.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how they overturned that because you could not tell one way or the other if it touched him or not.
I thought they had a few angles that really, because they when you put two
I watched it over and over and over again.
Hold on. You probably watched one angle over and over again. No, but they actually they compared the two angles, which from one way it looked like his left arm hit it, but his right arm completely did not. But if you watch it from the right angle, other side, it looks like his right arm hit it, but his left arm did not. Like, it was, I think that he did a good job with overturning that. Again, I'm not trying to sound like I'm like biased, but like I really feel that when you look at both of those,
I didn't have a dog in the race, but to me, the call was on the field that he fumbled it.
The call on the field was that he touched it.
That's what they call a fumble.
Well, no, that's not.
Technically, I think they call it. Well, Romo was saying it was a fumble, and I'm going with Hyperman. So, but to me, it's like, okay, because that's when you have to be smart with your challenges. That's a reviewable from the upstairs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the coach, you have to, okay, it was ruled a catch on the field. Like the one where Reed challenged the catch, it was a great catch. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I wouldn't have challenged that, and it cost him a timeout.
Yeah,
which might have cost him a chance to get a touchdown instead of a field goal to tie it. But I said I wouldn't have challenged that because the ruling on the field was a catch, and you really can't tell. Of course, it's the NFL, and I think they're making the rules up as they go along.
Well, here's the thing: is that there's all of these, what if, you know, what's, you know, if Tom Brady did this, if Tom Brady did that, or blah blah blah. Like, at the end of the day, if the Chiefs could have scored a point in the first two quarters of a game, it would have been a different game. But at the end of the day, they didn't. They were shut out. Andy Reid was shut out for the first time at home in the first half of a football game.
Well, because Andy Reid sometimes isn't smart.
My point is that at the end of the day, they didn't score points. Right, so no. that is the reason they lost.
And I'm not going to even talk about the roughing the passer.
Oh yeah, that was it happens.
If that's again, that's on the ref. If you can't fucking that's see the call, if you can't see the call, you can't make the call.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm not even going to argue that.
All right, but what about the Saints thing?
Oh, that was terrible. That was brutal.
That was.
But I've also seen like four other images that where the footage could have gone against the Saints. So
on different
plays.
But this was the biggest play of the game. Of course, the people are saying, why didn't the Saints run the ball and make?
Yeah, that was kind of dumb, right?
Timeouts, yeah.
That was real dumb. And then they called a timeout that actually helped them.
Yeah. It was a brutal call. The worst part is that, like, the announcer was saying, if the guy just turned around, he intercepts it and runs back for a touchdown.
Right.
But it was that's what I've been saying since, you can go back and check the sports talk tapes. I've been saying for about 4 or 5 years that you should be able to challenge that call. I'm not saying you don't add it's just part of the challenge thing, where a pass interference is probably the It's probably the biggest call a ref can make.
I think they're talking about actually making that a thing. I think there's discussions now about
welcome to the party, NFL.
Where I fell on that because we've had this discussion quite a bit is that I don't think that you could call the flag or throw out the challenge flag like, hey, look at this or review this. I think that you should be able to challenge an actual yellow flag. So
yeah, that's a problem. So, you couldn't challenge that. And I'm all for letting the players play.
Yeah.
When I was obviously not at the same level NFL, but when I would ref hockey at all the different levels, if it was a championship game, the people I was reffing with, and not everyone did this, we might let them. I don't call the ticky-tack shit. I'm not going to call the little hook or little like, but I'm going to call it. I'm going to let it go both ways. And if someone complains, I go, I'm giving you the same calls.
Immediate junkyard update.
Okay.
We have another confirmed. Yes. You were waiting on one more.
So we're just waiting on Robin?
I cannot confirm
or deny.
Anyway, so I will be rooting for the Rams because them winning the Super Bowl hurts the Chargers, and that's what I'm going with.
Just not
well. Working. Fuck you.
It's my own personal interest. This
don't worry. You know, you saw what they did to the Falcons, right?
The Falcons.
That's basically what's going to be the out. I mean, the Atlanta,
New England.
Yeah,
we did to the Falcons.
Yeah, exactly.
And Atlanta never recovered.
I think that's how this game's going to go. That's just my
redo of Super Bowl 36.
Okay, does Brady retire if he wins the Super Bowl?
No,
I think so.
I think he does. He's already got his new logo and his new style,
he's going to accept a contract for little bit of money so they can open up their salary to find his replacement. They can develop over the next couple of years.
The guy's like 50 though, isn't he?
41.
41.
Yeah.
Brutal.
And he still looks good though. Like that's the thing. Like he's not the same Brady that he was 10 years ago. No, but he's adapted his game and the team has adapted to him. Like he's the fucking greatest quarterback. He really is.
Of all time?
Yes.
Of this era.
Of this era.
Of all time.
Of this era. Different rules.
Yeah. I don't think you can compare him to some of the other quarterbacks of the different decades.
Because the rules are different.
Judging by your facial expressions, Matt, I believe you're goading me into trying to argue with you at that point. However,
I
remain in saying, take your era bullshit. That's spoken like a true used to be a Chargers team fan. Like that he is the greatest quarterback of all time.
I would say this I just think certain eras, especially in football, because the rules have changed so much.
Don't give a shit. He's still the best quarterback ever play the game.
Of this era, yes, yes.
He's the greatest.
Well, I know like Mono Rivera, the reliever for the Yankees, was the first player ever to get a unanimous. I was like, okay, Babe Ruth, Ty Cobbs, Willie Mays, list goes on and on and on. They weren't good enough for the unanimous, but Rivera, and I'll be honest, Rivera would not be my first choice of greatest relievers of all time because.
Don't even say Hoffman.
No, I wouldn't say Hoffman. Okay. The different rules because now you can get a save. You strike one guy out, you get a save. Back in the day, you used to have to go three innings to get a save. And they started changing the rules up and to make it better. I would have gone with Fingers or Gossage because Gossage would just scared the I there's no way I'd get up to bat against him. Anybody else? I mean, Rivera, Hall of Famer, he got unanimous. I'm happy for him. He's a stud. Who's to say if he pitched in the 70s and 80s, he still wouldn't have the success he had. But you look at the save totals back then. I mean, you had starting pitchers. I mean, Randy Jones of the Padres when he won his Cy Young in 76, had 25 complete games. I don't think from that point on the Padres have had 25 complete games since as a team. I mean, how often does someone get a complete game anymore?
So here is a Red Sox fan about to defend a Yankees closer.
I'm not saying he's bad. Argue
against your argument. He is one of, you know, he is the most dominant closer to ever play the game
of this era.
It's not on this era. You go back to Goose, you go back to Raleigh Fingers. They were different deliveries. They had their intimidation factor, but like, no, but Mariano Rivera has just had year after year, look at the innings pitch dominance.
Go look at the innings pitch for those guys compared to the Hoffman and Rivera. They pitched 60 or 70 innings a season, where the other guys pitched 170, 180 innings a season. More wear and tear.
Well, let me ask you this. Was the importance and the weight of a closer as much back then as important as it is now?
No, because the pitchers...
It's a moot point. It doesn't matter. Like you're looking at a different... He is the best closer to play the game. The people you're talking about weren't considered in the same light as he is when it comes to closers, or even the same light as any of the closers that we've seen in the last 20 years.
At their time, they were considered the best of all time.
Fair. That's fine.
At that time, they were considered... It's like we look at Barry Bonds stats, and they're skewed. But you look at like Willie Mays. Barry Bonds crushes Willie Mays. But who's the better player?
Willie Mays.
Somebody was on the juice too.
You're Willie Mays.
Not to go too far off of this, but Barry Bonds was a great player before he hit the juice, and he would be fucking amazing.
He was. Until his head swelled up like four times, and that wouldn't be
good. Sure. But no, anyways.
I know Yankee fans are getting mad. I love Rivera. I think if I was starting a team, I want Rivera closing out the games, because the game has changed, because you have to have a middle, you have to have the hold guy in seventh inning, you have to have the setup guy in the eighth inning, and you have to have the closer in the ninth inning. That's not the way it was done in the 60s, 70s. At the 60s, I don't even think the relievers got 10 saves a season. I mean, it was just rare.
He was a frightful pitcher to go up against and watch our team go up against year after year, with the exception of 04.
Oh, he was money.
So I got to go to the opening day. Was it opening day 05? I think it might have been 05. When we got the banner and the whole nine, and they were announcing like the opening rosters of that day's game, and I think we're playing the Yankees. And when Mariano Rivera came up and was announced, that entire stadium was on its feet cheering for Mariano Rivera, because he was the pitcher. Because we beat him. Like,
oh,
it was the fateful night.
But you know, with Rivera too, is I'll give him this too. He also played in a market that was a pressure cooker. You have to play for the Yankees, you have to have a special, especially for reliever, because there's relievers that have killed themselves after they've given up. After Donnie Moore was a perfect example, who he couldn't handle. He lost the game for the Angels against Boston. Dave Henderson hit the home run. He never coped with it, and they think that's what led to him committing suicide.
Yeah.
My point is that if you had the same rules today, if the same style of play back in the day with Fingers, Gossage, Lee Smith, Bruce Sutter, they'd probably have the same save total as a Hoffman and a Rivera. Now, the reason I give Hoffman an edge, because he kept injuring his arm. He was a power pitcher at first. And he was smart enough to change his game. It's like he became a pitcher instead of just a thrower. But he also played for a bad team, so how many save opportunities did he possibly have?
Right.
But he played for a team where the market wasn't as cutthroat as it is in New York. Rivera, I'm happy he got 100%. I think more players should get 100%. I think it's ridiculous they didn't vote. You know, they leave off a Tony Gwynn or a like I said, Willie Mays and these different players, they leave off because no player gets 100%, which I think is bullshit. But again, Yankee fans, I'm just saying my personal opinion. I'm old school and I like the Fingers and the Gossage guys.
Sorry, that just sounded weird. By the way, also when they, you know, you're watching a football game and they always talk about some guy's hands, it always kind of is really hilarious to me, like out of context.
And if Matt's going to have a mustache, he should have a Raleigh Fingers mustache.
I think he should have a Fu Manchu.
It's, you know, I was really mainly trying to just get the Sgt. Pepper look going.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah.
No, get the handlebar mustache.
I see you at the barbershop with all the curls.
It's like way too much maintenance on that crap.
And I'm not saying I did a Skip Bayless there by saying the Rivera thing. I'm not trying to get ratings.
Sure.
Yeah, because all those Skip Bayless fans.
I'm just saying, we were talking earlier with the, you know, you kind of get people upset and.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, do you want to detour off topic now?
Sure.
So Cliff and I went to the show on Sunday and saw Glass, which I had said to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were just talking about the material.
Yeah, no. when you said that, I go, what the fuck is Glass?
No, and Glass.
I'd seen the preview.
The movie.
But I was like, you guys should go see Glass. I'm like, the fuck is he talking about? I had to Google it. But once I did, I remembered what it was.
You know, it's funny because like people shit all over M. Night Shyamalan's movies, and I granted it. Most of them past like Signs are complete shit. But I liked Split
with Mel Gibson.
Yeah,
yeah,
I like that movie.
I like. I said
I like
he's
saying
past. Yeah, past Signs.
Like, Signs.
In fact, I would take Signs over Rivera.
It's actually one of my favorite baseball movies.
Swing away, Matt.
That's where they build a baseball field in the cornfield, right?
I wish there was a crossover there.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
You can't keep it on the membership card,
like,
though.
Like Unbreakable, Sixth Sense, and Signs, his first three films are really good. And then The Village, which came out next, is okay. And then slowly just nosedives after that. But Split, which came out, 2 years ago or so, is a good film. And
I
then
never saw that.
Split's good. Yeah, Split's good.
See it.
Yeah, you should see it. And then it's
is that a bowling movie?
Yeah. So you have Unbreakable, which came out in 2000.
With Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
What?
You're on par, Jack. You're knocking them out.
Unbreakable.
Yeah. and Split. At the very tail end of Split, it's revealed that it's in the same universe of Unbreakable. And so the third film is called Glass, and it's real. I thought it was really good.
You're making up these titles.
I am.
Split, the hair care for men.
Yeah. Splitting hairs.
Is it does it have bananas in it?
It does.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
You're just shitting over everything I'm saying. I'm gonna take my ukulele and go home.
Thanks for the ukulele part, Nick. Now for sports talk with.
Now for sports. That's basically what it was. It's like, okay, Nick sang his song. Let's go for 25 straight minutes of the Patriots are awesome. Fuck you, Jack, for not liking my relief pitcher.
I never said it. Like he was made out of glass, I think.
Don't even bring up my relief pitcher.
Do not bring up baseball. I mean, this is like one of the five rules of podcasting I've learned with podcasting.
I'm defending my team's mortal enemy.
Yeah.
I think you should lose your Boston Red Sox, you know, fan card. That's bullshit. Anyway, finish it, Nick.
Tell me more about Glass. Like, does it connect to Split?
This is Bruce Willis.
It's the third of the trilogy. Yeah. And it's gotten shit on because it's not what people, I think, expected. But no M. Night Shyamalan film is what you expect it to be. And it's basically a comic book story, which is what Unbreakable was. And there's a lot of really subtle twists in it that are you don't see coming. And Cliff and I, when it was done, looked at each other like, dude, that was pretty damn good. I mean, it's not an action film. It's not a Marvel film. It's a very good breakdown of how comic books are written and how things like that are, you know, how like real life stories get written in a comic book form. And it's basically a continuance.
So is it,
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
So does this ever end?
Everyone out there listening, people are being mean to me.
I meant, does the M. Night Shyamalan.
Not all of us, Nick. Not all of us.
This is it. This is the end of of that trilogy. But it is good, and it will throw you for a curve. Baseball pun.
Who had the best curveball?
Was it more of a split throw?
It was a split.
Haley Joel Osment in the after credit scene?
Oh, my God. I see you.
I see Bruce Willis.
I see Bruce Willis.
Well, I heard.
Remember that. When I was cute? Remember Bruce when I was cute? Anyway.
But yeah, it's good. I liked it a lot. I would recommend seeing it. I would give it, in Jack's method, I would give it 3.5 thumbs.
That's not bad. That's actually Jay's method.
No. Okay. I'd give it a solid like B plus.
Since Jay's name's on the title of the show, first, yeah, you probably should give him some credit.
Yeah. And then
so you got Bruce Willis, Samuel Jackson, and
John McAvoy.
James McAvoy, who's hilarious. Did you ever see him on that British talk show? No, talk show.
Band of Brothers. Graham Norton.
Yeah, he's been on Band of Brothers, but Graham Norton. Thank you, Chris. Graham Norton. It's hilarious.
Well, in the movie Split, he has 26 separate personalities.
Whoa.
Which is why it's called Split. And it's really impressive in Split because, you know, he'll leave the room and he'll come back and he'll be a totally different character. Well, he doubles down on it in this film to where he does it on a dime.
And he's got 52 characters.
No, he's still 26. But like, they have him in this mental institution. And
the House of Cards.
They have these strobe lights that hit him. So every time a strobe light hits him, he switches personality. And it's just like, holy shit. Like, how is he doing this? Because, I mean, it's not like a subtle character. It's like a just boom. Like, I'm totally somebody completely different. Different accent, different tone of voice, tone and body language, everything. You're just like, damn, that guy is good.
He's buffed out too, hasn't he?
Well, I mean, I think that's CGI when they did. Because like, that's the Beast. Like every other character, he's just like his regular skinny self. But when he goes to the Beast, which is his main like badass character, I think they have to CGI him over because they have like all these veins popping out and he's just like.
I was like, holy shit, he must be working. Can they do that for me? Like when I'm podcasting?
Yeah.
Can we make me look like I'm 20 years younger?
I just assume you did that anyway. But I not anymore. I liked it. I mean, if you're a plot person like me, I think you'll like it. And then I saw another film on Monday. It's a documentary, which I really, really do highly recommend if you like documentaries. Why am I forgetting his name? The guy did Lord of the Rings. Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
Peter Jackson did a documentary called They Will or They Shall Not Grow Old. And it's a World War I documentary, and it's superb. I mean,
I heard about this.
Does it have an ending, or is it like Lord of the Rings? Where it's
No. Basically, what he did is he went to London and he got 600 hours of World War I footage.
Really?
And a lot of it was stuff that was either shot too bright or too dark that people just would throw away because it was so old. They're like, oh, you can't use this. And he cleaned it up beyond amazement. And not only did he do that, and he could have just left it there and shown like old documentary film, he spliced it together in a linear pattern. So you see like people signing up to being in the military, going through basic training, seeing what it's like to actually be a soldier in World War I. And not only did he do that, he got professional lip readers to read all this silent footage films, found out the regiments of these people, and got voice actors from that region to do those accents of those British soldiers.
Jeez.
Wow. And it's unbelievable. Like how
this is in theaters.
It was a real limited release just for that day on Monday, but it will be out soon. And okay. I was like, wow, this is so good. And like he colorizes a lot of it. I mean, it's really good. Because, you know, World War I just doesn't get the credit. Like, it's not famous like World War II. But to see –
it doesn't have that juice.
Yeah.
It's just as cool, guys.
But I really enjoyed it. I was glad I saw
it. It's a gas.
Yeah. It's a
gas. Oh, man.
But that was too soon. Really,
yeah, that was very – I'm going to throw you in the penitentiary for that one.
I'm sorry. A little bit too much mustard on that.
A quick James McAvoy update. That actually was not CGI.
Was it not? Oh, okay. Wow.
No. So he actually put on a ton of weight, did a powerlifting routine, a 5x5 powerlifting routine.
So he's working out with Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds.
Consuming about 6,000 calories a day for his regiment.
Quick update, he's going to appear on the Media Junkyard.
That's what I thought too. He said that. I was like, yeah, he's coming on the Media Junkyard.
I thought he was taking Robin's place.
Yeah.
if James McAvoy wanted to be on the show, do we kick Robin out?
You can kick me out. I'll take a bow. Although I'd love to talk to him, but you know, it's I would totally just have him on the show.
I'd ask him about Band of Brothers because
yeah, he's such a skinny kid at that point.
Oh, yeah.
I would ask him about children.
He is a kid.
Well, I mean, I think he's Matt's age. So he was, how old were you in 2000, Matt?
24?
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
He was in a movie called Children of Dune that was released on Sci-Fi Network. So it's a sequel.
Is that related to Dune? Yeah. Yeah.
That's his sequel to Dune.
But luckily his career, he managed to.
He was like one of the best parts of that movie.
Was the movie any good?
I enjoyed Children of Dune. You know, if you're a Dune fan like me.
But you enjoyed Dune.
Yeah. Right? Right. Well, this was actually like a sequel to the sci-fi Dune, which I'm still kind of hung up on the 80s Dune. But either way, Children of Dune
Did it have Sting in it? Children of Dune?
No.
You sure?
Because it was made like in the aughts.
Please set me free. Yeah.
That's how I feel about this podcast.
Right. Every time I hear someone mention Sting, I think of there was an episode of. Is one of the Ricky Gervais shows he did after The Office where he was having a party. Might have been an extra or something like that. It's like, every time Sting comes into my apartment, I have to get security to check him for instruments. It's like, every time he sneaks one by me, the other day he just had a flute. He's over there just making a song up and during my party.
What happened to Sting? Is he doing anything anymore?
He did. He kind of disappeared, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, is he?
No,
is
he's still making music. So I'm pretty sure my boss buys every record that comes out by Sting.
Was he doing it by just solo? No, there's the police.
I don't know why my boss does it, but you know, yeah, he does it solo.
I didn't know he's still making music. I
can't think of the last time I even heard a record by Sting.
Speaking of things going solo,
I did finally see Solo.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I watched it on Netflix. It was watched on my computer. And I didn't think it was. I know people shitted on it, but I thought it was. I enjoyed it.
Actually, I don't think anybody really shit on.
Oh,
Solo.
There are people.
That no, because like it's not a bad film. It's just because Disney knew before it was released it was going to lose them money because they had put so much money into reshooting it that it was a license to shit on it. I think it's way better than any of episodes 7 or 8.
Well, we could argue about that, Nick. True. But I think that they missed the boat and they should have released it in December. I think they would have.
Yeah.
You know, it was sandwiched between Deadpool and Avengers 444 or whatever. The 54th or the 3rd. I don't know.
Okay,
Avengers War.
What I wanted to ask the crew from Owen and Brew's Barbecue. Okay, yeah, I get all the characters. But does Lady Mother of Dragons, does she become a – who does she become?
No, she's a brand new character.
Oh. So she – because the whole time I'm trying to figure out, I go – because she goes off in the space – well, I don't want to spoil anyone. Okay, so fuck it. It's been long enough. She goes off – if you don't want to spoil, skip ahead about a minute. She, you know, at the end, she goes. She leaves Solo behind because she's gone to the dark side. But then I go, okay, well, who did she become? Because it's obvious, it's a prequel, so there's got, who did she become? And I'm like going.
Well, if we had a sequel to Solo, which I don't think we're ever going to get.
But we had but Solo. We had Solo in the other movies.
But I mean, they were setting it up for a sequel where we would have seen more about Kira. So, okay. And we would have learned maybe a little bit more of why Lando's still pissed at Han.
Yeah, and we talked about this.
He took the Millennium Falcon.
I mean, he's got reason to hate him, and he trashed his ship, which is a really funny part where he says something like, you know, don't ever let anybody fly your ship because like Solo's just like breaking it apart.
Well, there's so many things like that's why Han shoots first at the end and kills Woody Harrelson. Like that's why Han shoots first. There's so many like little subtle things that are in it that you know, and like Matt, Jack, you can answer this. I think Matt and I debated this a while back. Like, so would you want a direct sequel to Solo? Because, like, I think Matt was more – I'm not sure what Matt's opinion was. Like, what can you see? I said, no, we should have a Obi-Wan Kenobi film instead of Solo 2 because that way you can lead it into Darth Maul going to Tatooine. You already have the setup with Han saying, I hear there's a job on Tatooine. There's so many things that are happening where you know that Ben Kenobi is already on Tatooine. So you could have a Obi-Wan Kenobi movie with some subtle Han and everything else interlaced in that film.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. But I was trying to think, was Han that short? Is Harrison Ford as short as the guy that played him?
I think Harrison Ford's 5'9".
But is that all he is? Is 5'9"?
Yeah, that's all. Mark Hamill's 5'9".
Well, I knew Mark Hamill wasn't tall.
Yeah. They did that to make the Wookiee look larger. My thing was that I thought they should make the sequel Lando, so and had a Lando focus, a heist story with Lando would be great. There's tons of them.
Can I just say this? What's his name? It was excellent playing Lando. Yeah. Drawing a blank on his name. I don't know why.
Glover.
Donald Glover.
Yeah. Donald Glover was. Yeah. He had him down perfect.
Yeah, it was perfect choice as far as casting for that.
Was excellent. I would have no problem with a Lando type thing.
And then you could bring in Lando has to have Kira. Yeah, go ahead.
I would have no problem with that, but I think Lando needs probably more. I think you need more characters in there than just Lando.
Well, yeah, you would, because I mean.
But I did not hate it. I thought it was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
It's got a slow, a bit slow start, kind of like Rogue One. But I think, you know, basically everything from the gambling part forward, moving into the whole Kessel heist and beyond, I really enjoy. So, and I've watched this movie as kind of just a background movie, just while I work, and I've.
It's well, I think it's fun is because they do touch on a lot of scenes that you see as New Hope and the other, and Empire. So it's like, oh yeah, that's from that. That's from that. So that was kind of fun doing that. You guys would know it more than I would because you're the experts. But I was like, oh, that's right. They talked about that. That's right. They talked about that. I just thought it was a good movie.
What did you think? Like, to me, the only scene that's really like cringeworthy is how Solo gets his name. What did you think about that?
I had no problem with that.
Okay.
I thought it was kind of forced, but I was okay with it.
Chris?
Yeah. So you just reminded me. I was finishing some of my unpacking that I haven't gotten around to. And
how long have you lived there?
A month.
2 months. just give me a hard time.
But I'm going to jump into trying to brainwash my daughter into Star Wars. So I've got the not so verifiable by copyright laws Blu-ray. Right.
Original cut.
Original despecialized Blu-ray.
Now, I did some research. Now, they're talking about doing a Star Wars TV series.
Yes.
Well, this was which one are you referring to?
Yeah, I just thought when I was looking up Solo, because afterwards I was trying to figure out it's Kira. I was trying to figure out who was she? What is she? It really bothered me because I couldn't figure out who she was, and now I find out she was just a made up person.
She's not made up. She's real, and she affects Solo moving forward. So I've read some of the comics.
That was the nerdiest thing I think you've probably ever said. She's not made up. She's totally real.
I like her a lot. Character.
All right.
She's real.
My scale of nerdiness.
She's the best female character ever.
She's spectacular.
I wouldn't go that far, Chris.
Nice Seinfeld reference.
Thank you. All right, enough of my nerdiness. Go ahead, talk amongst yourselves.
But no, I I saw that they're talking about doing obviously more movies, but they're talking about doing a TV show, and I was like, huh, I'd watch it.
Oh, are you talking about Mandalorian?
I don't know. I just saw that there's rumors of a TV series.
Yeah, well.
I don't know how they can do it every week, though.
More than rumors, there's I believe 10 episodes of The Mandalorian that are scheduled. And, you know, this might be right up your alley, Jack, because it's going to be more of a Western style, like you know, this is going to be in kind of some places where we haven't been before. It's kind of more outlaw.
It's going to be like Firefly, but successful.
What's it called? Mandalorian? Isn't that what Nick plays at the beginning of the episode?
No.
Yeah, he played the Mandalorian on his.
So it's going to be like Back to the Future.
Well, there's been several shows that have been planned over the years that have, you know, because I know Lucas, before he sold Lucasfilm, had a series planned, but at the time it was estimated to be between $16 and $22 million per episode. And the technology just wasn't there yet for him to bring the production down.
Yeah, the cost.
And I know that he had, Matt can back me up, I think he had already like 5 seasons planned. Like as
100 episodes.
Yeah, 100 episodes.
Supposed to kind of follow, like, I think Boba Fett, actually, or The Underworld.
He was struggling at some of the movies at the end. How was he going to do 100 episodes of a TV show?
Well, I don't think he has the whole thing scripted out as far as, like, every beat, as far as what people are going to say, but the plot, though.
So. What are we talking about? Hulu? Disney? I guess the Disney?
Well, there's going to be Disney Plus.
Yeah, Disney Plus. Like everything from now will be on Disney Plus.
Well, eventually, I know people are complaining about it, but eventually, you're going to have to either you're going to pay for NBC. You're going to pay. It's not going to be on Hulu or Netflix. It's going to be on. You're going to have like CBS, how they own all their shows. You have to have CBS app. It's just a matter of time.
It's going to get out of hand because, like, I don't mind a la carte because there's definitely, you know, if you're a regular cable or satellite subscriber and you're paying $170 a month for just every channel you can get, there's a lot of people that are like, no, I only want History Channel. I only want HBO, and I just want to pay $20 a month. And to me, that's totally fair. But if you're going to get to where every single network is like, oh, we're all a la carte now, and everything's going to be $15 a month, that's going to be insane.
Well, that's what but unfortunately, that's the way it's going to go.
Well, if you want it from a streaming perspective, yes.
Yeah.
NBC, CBS, ABC, although Fox, they're all over the air. So you can get them for absolutely nothing. But if you want to have the luxury of being able to watch whatever you want when you want, then yeah, you're going to have to
pay for it. Any of you guys watch the new Star Trek show on CBS?
Know, I caught the first two episodes of the first season and I just kind of let it roll. Is it something you should go back to?
Well, I'm asking because I have and I keep seeing the previews for it. And I go, all right, I'm gonna tackle this one day.
I know some of our listeners have, and I have not perused the entire season because I don't have CBS. I just like to throw out some $5 words every now and then. But
so I'm a new subscriber to YouTube TV, and
really
pretty happy about it.
You can watch The Karate Kid again.
Now, well, that's YouTube.
That's ringing.
Red. That's red. YouTube TVs, it's been great for me. So I haven't had cable in 2-3 years now. I think it's been. But in the new house, sorry, listeners, my furnace is being
That just for the record, that's not Jack eating pretzels.
Yeah, that'll be fixed by next episode, I promise. But in the new house, you know, this place is much more. I'm much more of a host for football games in this house as opposed to my last one, because the last house, the living room, was super small. We actually can have people here now. And having a reliable source to watch the Patriots has been difficult to do over the air, just because you're not getting a consistent signal where I live. Yeah, it doesn't matter what service you subscribe to, Matt. Your team will never be in the Super Bowl.
You got only so many more years with that, boy.
It's like $40 a month, and you get all of your local channels, and a lot of the stuff that you have, like the on-demand stuff, comes through as well, which is great.
But you won't get Hulu or Netflix. You can't get those. That's separate, right?
What's that?
You still have to pay for Netflix or Hulu.
Well, if you are a T-Mobile subscriber, they will pay for Netflix.
Really? But I'm not a T-Mobile subscriber.
Oh, I love T-Mobile. I've been on it for 3 years now, 4 years.
I'm on Verizon.
And they pay for your – they give you like a redemption code. You go on to Netflix and enter it, and free Netflix.
I found Reddit for football. It's worked out pretty good.
Go ahead. No, I just was thinking of Redemption Song by Bob Marley. But yeah, go ahead.
No, that's it, and it's been great. You have an unlimited DVR, which is also pretty cool, too.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So it's YouTube TV.
Yeah, YouTube TV. And you can share the login with up to 5 other people.
Oh.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool. But you don't get the Karate Kid, though.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, you do get the Karate Kid. Okay. Yeah. Because that should be coming up again, right?
That's my little mini review of YouTube TV, and so far it's been good. For $40 a month, it's not bad, and especially if you decide to get it, you can split it with friends and just cut that cost in half or by 4.
Yes, it's funny. Most of the TV I watch is on my computer now.
No, yeah.
I just stream it on the TV unless it's a football game or something like that. But yeah, our TVs usually sit there. My wife watches it on her iPad. Unless we're watching together, then we. Like we're rewatching Justified or something like that, but she's rewatching Grey's Anatomy right now.
I don't get it. I feel for you, man.
I don't watch it. I mean, I see enough episodes to know that I would never go to that hospital. But that's okay.
Yeah. So you got a 1 in 3 chance because like every episode, like 2 people live, 1 person dies.
Well, they always say that you got the best doctors here. No, you don't. People die there. People die. Seattle Grays or whatever it's called. It's like we used to watch that show, what's that, Once Upon a Time? And the one girl, with the blonde-haired girl, she said her power was knowing when people are lying to her. I got news for you. You don't know when people are lying to you. There could be a president of the United States standing in front of her, and she would go, would believe him. So I'm just saying. She doesn't know when someone's lying to her.
I usually know when you're full of shit, Jack.
Well, that's it. But I'm just saying, that's pretty obvious. I can be a pretty good liar if I want to be.
So,
Nick, your songs are the best.
Thanks, Jack.
I didn't watch any movies really to speak of. Well, no, I actually watched Jurassic World.
What do you think?
It was okay.
That's the latest one, right?
Yeah. I kept falling asleep during it, but that's because I would just watch it at night when I drink beer. And I'd wake up in different parts, and then I'd be like, oh, crap, I got to watch this tomorrow.
So I didn't like the first one. I mean, I thought it was all right, but I'm like going, okay, I don't get it. I mean, so why do we waste our time with this? And I like Chris Pratt and Ron Howard's daughter, Howard.
Ron Howard's daughter.
I can't remember her first name. Sorry,
Bryce.
Bryce Howard. I loved her in the movie
Arrested Development.
No.
Village.
No.
Lady in the Water.
No, it's the Southern movie.
That's. I think you're thinking of another actress.
You sure?
You're thinking of Jessica Chastain.
No. In the we'd eat the shit pie.
Yes, that's Jessica Chastain. Oh, she is in that one too. Yeah, they get both gingers in that movie.
Yeah, there you go. What's the name of the movie? It's a great movie. I loved it.
The Help. Oh, the
Help.
The Help. Yeah.
I love forgot because she's the bitchy character, and Jessica Chastain's the good character. The two famous redheads. There's not that many.
What about Lucy?
I meant like in current and in present time.
Oh, okay.
So there was this really amazing moment just the other day for me. I just have to talk about it because it was cool. It was cool for me. As some of you know, I've talked about it before. My right hand is born kind of close shut. So it's my right hand. I'm left-handed. So I've always been an artist and kind of creative-minded, I think. I was kind of born into it. So the other day I was at my work and a woman came in. And I didn't notice it at first, but all of a sudden I kind of glanced down and noticed she had a prosthetic right hand and she's left-handed. And it was like just this really great moment to kind of connect with someone and be able to kind of talk about some similar life experiences that were pretty unique. You know, it was kind of like talking to her about growing up and like different things that, I don't know. It was just really,
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, I guess of things that kind of made my week, that was something that I was really excited about to meet her. She was a really nice person and yeah, she was an artist and taught. And,
so a fellow artist.
Yeah. She's, I think she's about almost 20 years older than me. So, but it was interesting kind of hearing, so how our lives were parallel. No,
okay.
No, I'm not 50
I'm
like
just,
you.
I'm just trying to do the math.
I know you're trying to identify with me, with your generation, but
talking about my generation.
So anyway, that was a cool part to my cool week. So,
I didn't have any cool stories like that.
So
fucking Patriots won.
Yeah, that was. Really cool.
I found out more about specifics about my heritage.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
really?
Yeah. I think I mentioned at the end of either last show or maybe I forgot, and it was like two shows ago, but
I remember talking about it.
I did Ancestry DNA. So you guys are probably, if you don't know what that is, you're living under a rock because, or you don't have Facebook or
so basically, you send the government your DNA so they can clone you.
We do have a few listeners who live under a rock, so you might want to explain it to them.
Yeah, so with Ancestry DNA, so it's part of the company from Ancestry.com, which allows you to go on and create your family trees by entering as much information as you possibly can about the people you do know who are alive, et cetera. And it links it to your family tree to actually like public documents that you can find from like census bureaus and ship manifests and so forth and so on. Well, they have a second division of their company called Ancestry DNA. And essentially what they do is it's, you probably have heard of things like 23andMe, which do a DNA analysis and kind of find your close matches. Along the same line, so what happens when you sign up for Ancestry DNA, they send you a vial in which you spit into. And you send it off in this prepaid package and send it off for analysis. And then a few weeks later, you get an update. So I received my update a couple of weeks ago. No real surprises for me. But what's kind of cool is it gives you, I'll show you guys here. Oh, man, the reflection's not that great.
But, oh, okay. I thought it was a bunny rabbit.
Is that Slimer from Ghostbusters?
Yeah, that's right? A slug, dude.
So it gives you a little bit of like a slug. Gives you like a map of your DNA heritage of where it kind of breaks down. You can't really see. There you go.
Somewhere in here.
And it gives you my ethnicity estimate. And I found out that this is no news to me, but 43% Eastern European in Russia.
Really?
So yeah,
I would have thought more Irish.
Well, yeah, my dad's family's from Poland. 30% England, Wales, and Northwestern Europe. So Wales and the West Midlands. 14% Irish and Scottish. And then I have 7% Baltic states, 4% Norway, and 2% Germanic Europe. Which is kind of cool. But then what it does is it also gives you your DNA story over time. So it starts off like the 1800s and kind of gives you, kind of demonstrate for you guys here. This is terrible podcasting, but gives you like kind of a breakdown year over year about the migrations of your DNA and where they go to and stuff, which is kind of cool. But here's what's actually really cool is if you tap on matches, and just like 23andMe, if you opt in to be searchable, what it does is it finds you all of the matches that you have to your DNA. There's
some relatives
back in. I don't know how the science behind it works, but it gives you the probability of relatives. So it did a nice job in the sense that it actually found as close family, because my nephew did this before I did. He actually is the one who convinced me to do it. It says a confidence extremely high for close family, first cousin, happens to be my nephew on here, which is kind of cool. But then it goes through and it gives you all of your second cousins. And it's all these people who have similar DNA structure to you, which is kind of cool. And it's a great method to get you to actually subscribe to Ancestry.com, because you can link your DNA matches to your family tree. Because I've already gotten a number of messages from people who I've popped up on, you know, their close matches, to which I have not responded because
they're all asking you for money.
And because Ancestry.com is like $30 or $60 for, I think, like a 3 month or 4 month thing.
It's expensive. My daughter's doing a free trial right now.
It's not cheap.
She did the same. We all did 23andMe. She did the Ancestry.com.
Yeah.
Or DNA.
But it's pretty cool. So, I mean, I would say that, you know, I think I paid $60 to do the DNA setup. But what's also cool is if you can go in and you can look at the different traits that your DNA has. So, for example, bitter sensitivity, cilantro aversion, cleft chin, earlobe type, so forth, all that type of stuff kind of breaks down by your DNA.
How does it know you're bitter? Roadmap.
That's I thought Matt and I both had the same exact facial expression. I was like, wait, how do they know you're a bitter person? And I was like, oh, wait, no, okay.
Well, it's in his DNA. You can't change your DNA.
The Gillette ad didn't affect you, so I knew that you were bitter. So
one of the things that's cool is that the asparagus metabolite detection. So people of my DNA makeup, their pee smells really bad after you have asparagus. And I thought that was for everybody, but apparently that's specific to groups of people.
Because that my pee does.
Huh. Interesting.
Like my pee smells like shit after I eat asparagus. So, I mean, not like literal shit, but it just smells terrible.
Yeah, it's a shame that Ancestry.com is so expensive, because my daughter has it. She's been tracing back. Found out my great-great-great Heinrich Glaubhalter was in the Revolutionary War, but that's all she's gotten to right now. Hmm. And I go, Heinrich. I never heard of a Heinrich, but that was my great, 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 great grand. But I'm messing one because it's Casper, who I never met. He died before I was born. Your sinus, Rudolf, skipping one, and then Heinrich. Hair loss.
So apparently my DNA suggests that I or close male relatives have a high chance of hair loss.
You know, I got that too from 23andMe, and I said, I wish I would have had this 30 years ago, but fuck off, I didn't know. But it's funny how you said it. I got an update today on 23andMe. They update it all the time. I don't pay anything extra. It's just one of those things where you pay the initial cost. And it made me more white than I was before.
Oh.
And if you've heard me bitch about this before, because I was told I was Cherokee Indian, I was Asian, I was had all this different stuff. Well, no, I did have before a percentage of Asian and a little bit of Native American. Now they've updated. I have nothing. I've actually now more Swedish. What's Switzerland? I'm more Swiss.
Yeah.
Than I am British now. I used to be a lot more British, but now I'm more, which makes sense because my mom's family came from England, and my dad's family came from Switzerland. There's actually a town in Switzerland, Glatfelten, that my family came from. So they settled in Pennsylvania, and I think my mom's family settled in, I want to say New York somewhere, and they all migrated out west. Well, my dad's family stayed in Pennsylvania, but my mom's family came all the way across, probably chasing the alcohol. Just saying. Some of them like to drink a little more than others, but but no, it's like, how can I be more white than I was before? Come on, you're killing me.
I had a good friend of mine that actually took one of those tests, and that's how he found his biological parents.
Really?
Yeah, it was amazing because he was adopted, and so, but yeah, he met his sister through that, his biological sister, and
that is very cool.
Yeah. So
I do too. Go ahead.
Oh, that'd be scary. I was going to say, unfortunately, he had his father had already passed.
Well, at least he got the history behind it, though.
Yeah, and he's really close now with his birth family. So that was really neat to see him kind of reunited with so many brothers and sisters and a mother.
That's cool.
I don't know. I had a friend of mine. That'd be scary to me because I had a friend that's adopted, and I asked. I never really known anyone that was adopted, and I asked. I was like, you know, what would you think now? Like, you know, because she was 26 or 27 at the time. And I was like, well, what happens if all of a sudden your birth parents all of a sudden got in contact with you? What would you feel? She's like, oh, I wouldn't talk to them. And like, it's just funny. Like, and so if you randomly stumbled upon them like that, you know, you have that temptation of like, what would you do?
He found they had like, especially with his brothers, siblings that they all had a certain like, you know, they were all like played musical instruments. You know, most of them were musicians on some really? Level.
And then
they also all had an affinity for woodworking.
So, huh.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of like an odd like thing that was just like, hey, we all, you know, so
a very interesting nature versus nurture type thing.
Yeah.
If you haven't done it, if you can afford it, it's a really cool thing to do.
Yeah, like maybe you can find your actual birth parents out there, listeners.
Well, it's funny because I used to say I was adopted because, you know, you get baby pictures, you know, that you're born. There's none of me. There's none. My sisters, but they said, oh, you were so small. They had to put you in the,
You can photograph you. Well,
they had to put you in the down below. What, like the basement? What, you put me on the porch? What? I guess the incubators were down below, and I was so small that they had to put me down there. I said, I'm just not buying that. I think I'm calling bullshit on it.
Well, to be fair. Yeah. To be fair, back then, photography, you had to hold still for at least 2 or 3 minutes before the film.
they had the giant flash, but
yeah, the big fire.
I have an older sister. There's pictures of her. And pictured by the two sisters. I'm just saying there was
the
most one
was still on glass.
That's true. Like Jack, what in order were you? Like you third?
I was second.
Second, yeah.
I mean, I was second of four.
There are hardly any photos of me ever. I get throughout my childhood because I'm second, and no one ever takes photos of the second child. It's always you get the first one has tons of them. Second one hardly has any.
And if sister burned them all, but yeah,
there are when I get like 2 or 3 months. But I'm like my theory was that I was probably. There's probably I was a rich family gave me up. And I always held on to that belief, but sure. I said, was I really born in Pennsylvania? Really? Really? And then people go, you look just like your mom. I go, do I really look? And my wife will go, you look just like your mom. I go, do I? You act just like your mom. I go, do I? Really?
I always held out hope that I was biogenetically engineered in a lab, but that didn't happen. So, you know, here we are.
But it is cool. Like you said, you can trace back your roots and trace back your history. It is pretty cool.
We've all seen the movie Gattaca, though, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think we're going to get there. We're move it to the left a little bit more. No, right? Or Chris, never mind. But yeah, I think we're going to get there. I think probably within most of our lifetimes to where.
You got
to
come down with it. You're too high.
Yeah, we couldn't see you, Chris.
You're
way too high, Chris.
I was just pointing out some fairly attractive fifth or sixth cousins.
Turns out Chris is from the South.
Fifth or sixth, I think it's all right.
Tennessee, actually, believe it or not.
But yeah, like I mean, I think we're going to get there fairly rapidly to where, you know, anyone wants to have a child, you'll say that like, okay, you know, congratulations, Mr. Glatfeltler, like, you know, you're pregnant.
Oh my God, I don't want another kid.
Yeah. And but you can screen it to where it's like, oh, like, you know, your child right now has a 32% probability of cancer. We can screen that out now to where it's like down to 2%.
You can do that now.
Oh, can you? Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's essentially what we did with my second child.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
And there's genetic CRISPRs now too, right? If I remember the terminology correctly, that they can. They're working on actually manipulating those, you know, eye color. And
now, do you think this is eventually how they'll just wipe out cancer by doing it genetically
or baldness?
It's such a weird thing, right? So, I mean, when we did it, and I think I've talked about this before on the show, but I'll kind of give a 30-second version of it. So, because of my wife has a genetic mutation that is, she's got a 95% chance of having breast cancer, which she did. So when we did the second, our second round, and we actually, for our second trial, we did IVF, and what they did was they took all of the embryos that we, created, and they just screened them all, right? So they screened them for specific mutations or specific, segments of DNA. In this case, they did a targeted search for specifically my wife's DNA, mutation that she has, the BRCA1 gene mutation. And all they did was, I mean, they didn't change anything. They just only used embryos that didn't have it.
Huh.
Right. So there's my second child has 0% chance of having the BRCA1 gene mutation.
That's great. I mean, I know it's more complicated than just what we're talking about, but I just said, I wonder if that's a way they could just, but of course you got other countries where the money's not there. And, I'm just saying, if you could eliminate cancer, wouldn't that be a good thing?
Yeah, it would be. But it is also that bit of playing God. I know you shouldn't make a Hitler joke in jest, but I did. Sorry.
I'm pretty hurt by that because I do have a lot of German in me.
Like technically, so I mean, hey, I've got 2% Germanic Europe, but I technically could have had them run other screenings to narrow down specific genetic traits as well. We chose not to. Like I could have very easily chosen a boy or a girl.
Right.
Hmm. And if you have the sample size, you can find out which ones have which color hair or which ones have which color eyes. If you have a number of samples, you can actually whittle them down to the selections that you're looking for. Technically you can do that.
What if there was like a trade-off though? Like, okay, we can make the most beautiful baby. It's going to be the most handsome man, but he will have severe flatulence the rest of his life. It'll be chronic.
That's happened with me. That's living proof that it's okay.
Well, no, he said really handsome though.
So when they asked us that, like, do you want to, choose? You can have a boy or a girl. And I was like, ugh. I don't know. I didn't feel good.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I'd be happy.
I feel totally fine ensuring the child's health, right? Like if I can prevent cancer from happening, I will do that. And I did.
I get that it's a dicey thing because you're going to have people that like you said, they, okay, I want a boy. I want him to have blonde hair. I want him to have blue eyes. You're going to have that kind of, I just said, you know, if you could eliminate cancer or some kind of cancers, I think that would be a good thing.
It's essentially what we did, but to do that as part of like a mainstream strategy, we're not there yet to do it by any means.
But I'm just saying in the long run, because you know, it's just,
well, that was my point with the movie Gattaca. Jack, if you haven't seen it, you should. It's 97, oh, yeah. 97, I think, or 98.
Great movie.
I think it's
see Bridges of Madison County, then see Gattaca.
Yeah. Any Clint movie. Yeah.
I said no. Yeah.
Well, that's at the point, like they're at the point in the future society to where they can say like they whittle out every kind of disease, but then they enhance everything as well. So it's like, you know, so it's like, you know, your great grandfather was super smart, so we're going to make you super. And then so everyone that's a godchild, so just regular sex, regular born, like you're like a subclass now, though. So because everyone else that has money has made their children like super the best possible version they can be.
I see what you're saying. I'm going to have to go see that.
It's truly the best that a man can get. Anyway,
Gattaca, the best.
I did like the enhanced part. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I mean, but that's not what the movie's about, though. It's because Ethan Hawke is a godchild, and he's been told his whole life that he's going to die before the age of 20. That he can't follow his dreams, he can't do anything, and he proves them all wrong by assuming a false persona.
Okay,
and that's what the movie's about, and it's really good.
All right, I'll have to look at
being able to follow my dreams. I wish I could keep this show going longer tonight, but
we do have an email though.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Can we read that real quick?
Yeah, and do we have any other reviews?
I looked today and seen any reviews.
Oh, okay. And we can't
get a drawing because we didn't get a review. Anyway, I'm not gonna do that.
And Joanne, I know that you already have emailed in before and you've gotten pieces of art, you know. I hate to withhold more art, you know, but
she's the only one. I mean,
but anybody that's interested, though, you know, send in your email and maybe I've got this moon one that I worked on, you know,
that's pretty cool.
So and then
did you guys see the blood moon?
That's a big moon.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
That's a big moon.
It's yeah. Some would say that's no moon, but you know. I did see the blood moon. I set up the telescope, took the kids out, woke them up. You know, hey, come look at it.
I forgot about it, but people were posting pictures on Facebook. Oh, that's right. And it's the first time, I think, in the history of living out here where there was something going on that it wasn't cloudy here.
That was my fear, is that it was going to cloud up.
I said, hey. But I only saw half the moon.
Oh, yeah. You got to stay up until like.
I was off checking out the moon. Yeah.
I forgot about it until people started posting pictures on Facebook. I go, oh, that's right. Anyway.
Yeah, those wolf moons are cold. So.
Woo! Anyway. It's
2 degrees out, and now it's 50 tomorrow. I don't get it. Welcome to New England.
It's going to be warm. It's warm here the next 2 days, and it gets cold again. This email from Joanne with the plan is entitled Sexism is Dead to Nick, Jack, Chris, and Matt, Colleen, Shandy, and Amanda. I think they got you confused with the other podcaster, Matt. I think
they got us confused with the, you know, the what is the other podcast?
I don't remember. The broadcast. Subject line refers to the headline big enough even for Jack to read, and it would be nice if that was the text. I mean, she does have it. It's a larger font, but this font is like, oh my god, I can see this. It's night and day. Tucker Carlson, it's almost impossible to find sexism these days. A note to Desiree, who spurred me to write this email, although the thoughts behind it have been mulling through my head for months. I really appreciate your emails to the Ramblecast, and I think she's talking to Desiree, who lives in Florida, right?
Oh, is that where she lives?
I think we made fun of, not Joanne, but Desiree.
We didn't make fun of Desiree. Just
no, we made fun of Florida.
Florida Gators, and specifically Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah.
So that was on the previous.
That's right.
May you rest in peace.
For those and a bunch of other interactions, including lunch with Shandy a few months ago, and two male managers telling me not to worry about my idea of creating a team banners because they had the girls working on it. I've been creepy. Thinking a lot about the topic of sexism and how to move forward in a positive way while tied to the past experience that color or language and actions offer often in a negative way. I decided, since this is both a topic relevant of both podcasts, as I noted, I'm running due to part of motivation for both. I'm making this a dual submission. One recommendation is, assuming Desiree has no objection, is the broadcast read both Desiree's excellent emails. Were they excellent? I mean, you're going to say that's an excellent email? That's the best? It's like Rivera, he's the best of all time? I don't know. Of course, I'm kidding. I'm joking, of course. To the Ramblecast before moving forward, reading my poor attempt on the subject. One note I'll make. Well, I need a drink. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I just was going to say, who's Tucker Carlson, by the way?
He wears the bow tie.
Or he's that fucking douchebag on Fox.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know why you're listening to this Tucker Carlson. I mean,
he's a shit stick.
It sounds like it's almost impossible to cousin Chris these days. I don't know, that headline alone. I'm just like, why are you bothering barking up a dead tree? I mean, fuck yourself, Tucker Carlson. I mean, clearly sexism isn't dead.
You sound a little southern there.
I was trying to be
fuck
southern.
Yourself, Tucker Carlson.
Go take out a trucker.
Why you gotta be culturalist?
Yeah, Matt.
I don't know.
Sexism knows no region.
Are you anti-volunteerism?
Yeah.
No, I like the CCCC and the all of the other initials. Anyway, go ahead, Jack. Where are we at?
I'm trying to remember where I'm at. One note I will make, and please know that I use this almost universal example and not to pick on Nick. Should this be called Nick Pick instead of Nick? I'm sorry. Instead of be calling Pick Nick instead of Nick Pick. Sorry, I butchered that. I apologize. I just assumed it was Nick Pick because, well, that's what Nick does, right, Nick?
That's what I do.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. I mean, you have a thing about a movie or TV show and you take it apart. The statement that you only want to work with women because, and then you list the reasons, your reasons, is as sexist and harmful as stating, I only want to work with men because, and pick some reason. You have classified all women in traditional ways that spoke to me, at least to women, why women have such a hard time getting higher positions and respect. Not pushy, etc. I do not want to put words back in your mouth, so I'm not going to try and remember the exact phrase. Here is the key. Work with people because they are the ones you have been put in the job with. Recognize that they each have, as me as a co-programmer, manager called quirks, find a way to make both the men and women you work with be the best they can be if you are a manager. Or if you have coworkers, ways to make them the best you can be within your abilities and quirks. As a side note, my staff is opposite of most places. The top four managers, 5 of 6 executive managers, and 8 of 10 department heads are women. We are fortunate to have diversity in other ways too. Let me tell you, women have their quirks that can be frustrating, if not more than men, not because they're women, but because they're individuals.
Well, that was kind of sexist, though. It was borderline.
In a way that each person has strength and each has their own weakness, there might be different approaches that, from the outside view, will make it makes it possible to tie gender-based reasons for strength and weaknesses. But knowing, as I do, those quirks each has, in the end, there is the same amount of potential and the same amount of obstacles to each person. Going back to the headline. Oh, well, this goes on for a while. Going back to the headline. No, I'm not complaining. Going back to the headlines. If you want a little experiment, take Tucker Carlson's statement above and note how often before you even finish, if you say it's a woman, then you begin laughing at absurdly. Recently, I had a dinner with a friend and brought up the subject and the no sexism concept to a friend. First came a laugh and then came out of the blue a story about horrendous abuse she suffered in her childhood. Wow, this is so tied into the past experience that color us internally and always known by others, certainly not known by my coworkers and sometimes even my friends. I also, as a part of the experience around past a present of sexism, or in each case, a sister sin or racism, had my own sort of awakening and mistaken generalities. My recent trip to Asia was in the company of a lady who had been my staff for almost 20 years. She's now deputy manager and happens to be African American. I almost never think of her in terms of race, gender, except on occasional glimpses, like to her mother's funeral, which was like funerals I've attended. During the trip, we got into a deep discussion about her past in Louisiana when she was in the Air Force and faced strong enough racism that she felt compelled to carry a gun for protection and got out of there as quickly as possible. Later in that trip, I made the mention that my philosophy is most people are good, and she said, not from my experience, her experience. Put me in a philosophy in a new place to fit with the other parts of the email and more that I won't get into, that really makes me think about the experiences from form actions, words, philosophies that can unknowingly tinge with isms. Okay, so after starting this email several times in the past month, I finally did it. It's my bit of rambling, which is perfect for this show. I said that. But it's at least half for the Ramblecast. I hope this makes some sense and perhaps spurs more discussion and maybe other emails on how our own other experience affect explicit sexism, racism, and other isms by us and others. Joanne with a plan.
Well, that was a good email. And you laid out some really personal experiences as well as personal experiences from other people.
I think we all know sexism is not dead.
Right.
I live in the South. I know it's not.
It is unfortunately alive and well.
It is. So, and I don't know. There's a lot that I could say about it. There's a lot that I feel like I don't want to say in case I come off as being sexist, because I think the last thing that any of us at the Ramblecast want to do is get caught in a bear trap. So,
yeah,
bear traps should be illegal.
Yeah, bear traps are illegal. I had this, I know Nick probably wants to say something, but
go ahead.
I was helping my son tonight, and I had to have this heart to heart with him about, you know, certain lewd gestures that were told to him on the school bus and that he should say to another girl. And I was really proud of him that he didn't, that he knew that this was wrong. He didn't know what was about it. And that's what he was coming to me about it. So I was really proud of him for being not acting on just some dipshit that's trying to get my son, you know, to do something that's wrong.
Right.
And then B, for him to come to me and talk to me and just ask me, like, you know, what, Dad, what does this mean? You know, and for me to just kind of have an honest conversation, it's like, well, this is what this means, son, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And we talked about it for a little bit and I was able to kind of put some good lessons in place, but also not bombard him.
Yeah.
Because I also wanted to leave it open and say, hey, you got any other questions about this stuff? Hey,
how old is he?
I'll tell you.
I remember talking about that stuff when I was 8.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it shows extreme maturity, like great maturity for Matt's son to be open and actually be curious, because people tend to be victims of their own ignorance because they're afraid to ask questions or they're embarrassed to talk to their parents. And I mean, I know I didn't talk to my parents about some things, and you know, you find out later, and then you're embarrassed in front of your friends if you ask a stupid question, and then they're like, "You don't know that?" And you're like, "Well, no, why would I?"
I'm only 5.
Yeah, or whatever. But yeah, something bad. Like, that's good parenting, Matt. Kudos.
Good job, Matt.
It came out of the blue tonight, and it was, you know, it's like one of those moments where you're just kind of called into service, where you're like, "Oh shit, this is happening."
Well, it's a different time, different generation. You have the internet; they can search things, so.
Well, and this is, you know, but this is a tale as old as time. Kid on a bus talking to, you know, maybe it's an older kid, maybe it's a, you know, kid. That
yeah, but I don't, I, again, I was, it, me being 8 was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember those kind of conversations at 8. I mean, I just don't remember that at 8. I could be wrong because, again, that was 48 years ago. Fuck. Yeah. That was a long time ago. So when you have to think about it, you know it's a long time ago. But anyway.
Yeah, so I kind of like an interesting story that happened today. So my wife was off with her friends. She went to a friends of ours just opened up a store, like a retail shop, like a specialty shop, a couple of towns over. So she went to like this grand opening party, and then went out with her friends. So I had the pleasure of being able to be, you know, daddy daycare after school, and I last night when we found out that was going to happen, I looked at my daughter and I was like, Emma, we're going on a date tomorrow night. And she's like, yes. She goes, let's go to Buffalo Wild Wings. And I was like, yes.
We can watch the replay of the Patriots game, have some beers. Yeah.
So I took my daughter out to dinner tonight and went to Buffalo Wild Wings. And anyone who's ever been to Buffalo Wild Wings knows just like TVs everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere. Yeah.
And it's the most hyper-stimulating environment for a child to be in. So I kind of did myself in a little bit by bringing her there. But so we're sitting there and it's pretty busy in there. And there's, you know, if you've been to Buffalo Wild Wings, the tables aren't really far from each other. So you're pretty much sitting next to like groups of people.
Oh, yeah.
And I have this rule that I break every once in a while only at Buffalo Wild Wings, where we don't have any technology on the dinner table when we're having dinner. It's just like it drives me crazy. Like the next table over is a kid who is literally playing his Nintendo Switch while his dad was on his phone. They weren't even talking to each other. I totally felt bad for the kid, you know, and for the dad for not having any, you know, verbal relationship with his kid.
Oh yeah, that's a rule at our dinner table. Yeah.
But at Buffalo Wild Wings is an exception because they have tablets that they can bring over to the kids and they can play the Buffalo Wild Wings games. And she knows that. And that's like the only environment that happens. But she put the tablet down because on one of the TVs, it was the 2018, I think it was probably back in like February, March or whatever it was, McDonald's All-Star, All-American game. You know, they have all the high school kids come out and
yeah,
you know, college hopefuls and whatnot. And it was a slam dunk contest.
Oh.
And it was like 10 or 12 high schoolers. And one of them was a woman. And it was her name is Olivia Nelson Adoba. And she dominated the first round. Like she won the first round of the slam dunk contest, which was awesome. And it caught her eye. And she put down the tablet. And she started watching it. She's like, a girl's winning. And I was like, yes. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, she's totally getting into it, right? And she was like, girls can do it too. I go, and she's like, girls can play basketball too. They're really good at basketball. I'm like, yeah, girls can do whatever they want. You can play whatever sport you want to play. And she's like, I'm glad that the girl's winning. And I was like, okay. I'm kind of like, was waiting to see where this is going, right? You know? I kind of just stopped. I didn't say anything. I was just letting her kind of like soak it all in. And then, dude, and my daughter, mind you, my six-year-old daughter is saying, she keeps repeating herself. She goes, girls can do anything guys can do. And I was like, you're absolutely right. They can do anything you guys can do. She goes, and we can thank Susan B. Anthony for that. And I'm like, holy shit. I stopped everything. And like people turned around and looked at her. And I just looked at her. I'm like, fucking high five, dude. Like that was awesome. I was just so fucking proud of her. Yeah. Like I've been proud of my daughter in many moments, but tonight was an exception. That was like, she rattled this off and like, I was like, that is.
I'm impressed that at six, she knows who Susan B. Anthony is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow. Like this is, like that was like, I just had a huge grin on my face.
Oh,
and
yeah.
People turn around. And meanwhile, this dude and his kid are sitting there not talking to each other, watching anything while he's on his phone and his kid's playing Nintendo Switch. I love it for that moment. I had her put that down and then all of a sudden she said that. And I was like, man, that was one of those proud parenting moments.
Yeah.
And I was like, And then our discussion turned into, well, what are you going to do? Like, what do you want to play? She's like, you know, like, I kind of like, don't really want to do gymnastics anymore. I want to do this. I want to do that. I'm like, this is great. Like, she's like, we've always had that mentality around her, you know, especially in our home and whenever we're you know, amongst friends. Like, you know, we have friends who have their kids enrolled in dance class, you know, at whatever age, because it's something that they're very passionate about. And it's like, you know, they kind of adopt these things. And I've never once have been like, you have to go and do this. I'm going to sign you up and do this. I open it up and say, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. Like, find what makes you, what you think is fun, find what gets you going. Like, and let's do it. So after watching today, she's like, well, maybe I'm going to try basketball. I'm like, I hope it's not genetic, because I was terrible at basketball. But that's cool. Yeah. Right? You know, yeah. Like, so it was like a heartwarming moment for me tonight. And then cool. the wings were delicious.
The wings were delicious.
Yeah, I don't think I ever had wings at Buffalo Wings. Like,
I'm not a wings fan.
I'm not either. Like, I know, most of my friends would always get these big ass turkey legs they had there, and because like it's just like, instead of getting like five or six like little wings, they get one big one.
Yeah. They're not the best wings.
I used to get a hamburger, and it has more than just a bun on it.
Whatever, so Jack.
Just saying.
Let me tell yourself that
hamburger at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah. I don't like the wings because I can't stand the smell.
No.
Huh.
I can't get it past. It's
Buffalo dry rub.
Tastes just like it smells.
It's delicious. Smells like ass.
Well, speaking of ass, I have to be a jackass and end this podcast because
I got to get up early too. So
but one last note I could just say is that tomorrow I teach a practical concerns class for artists, and tomorrow I will be showing my students this show on Netflix called Explained. I like to show them kind of a movie at the beginning, and then we kind of have a conversation about it, and then we jump into actually like the work of the day. But there's a show on Netflix called Explained, and there's a great episode, Why Women Get Paid Less, and it's a 15-minute little short video that I'll be playing for my students to put some things into perspective and really make them think and challenge the, you know. So thanks again, Joanne, for the email. Just to at least kind of finish up, I'd like to say that if you want to buy anything on Amazon, though, for a woman or a man that you love.
Anyone's eligible.
Valentine's Day is coming up soon, and it's better to be ahead of this curve, right? Just as men, just that's something little. It doesn't have to be a lot. It just could be like a hey, I was thinking of you.
My 30th anniversary is coming up soon.
And my birthday was this month, so you know, everyone was thinking that last minute gift.
A guitar,
yeah, or anything.
Or
you can get me one of those Mandalorian guitars. Yeah.
Mandalorian guitar. Sure. Yeah, I'll work on that. So.
But Amazon.
Amazon. It's jandjack.com/Amazon. That's how you get there. And a little bit goes our way. So, you know, maybe you don't even have to buy something for someone else. You just buy it for yourself and be like, screw it. I need this Star Wars Lego set.
Yeah, I got the Bespin set, the big one.
It's like bringing up a baseball to like Jack. But yes, I do know which one you're talking about. I saw previews of that. That looks cool.
You see the guy that axed his car, his windshield, because his wife messed up his toys.
I think that was This Is Us.
It was on This Is Us, but I guess he got upset because she did something to his toys or something like that. So he took an axe to his windshield of his car.
Oh, that's not okay.
Which I don't understand. Why would you destroy your own car?
I hope you watched the This Is Us episode with her.
Yeah, that was funny. That scene. Because usually, This Is Us is depressing. But if you'd like to be a patron, go to patreon.com/JayandJack or just go to jayandjack.com. Did I say it wrong?
jayandjack.com?
/Amazon.
No, yeah, you got it right. So
why
to become a patron, though, you can go to thejayandjack.com.
Yeah.
Just straight up.
And there's every little bit helps us, makes these great quality shows like this. We get great reunion shows coming up.
And a live show that we're talking about doing next week for the patrons, right?
Yeah, it's a patrons only show. If you from $1 to $1 million, you're able to go in the chat with us and ask us any questions you want. But this time, I'd like to thank five patrons. Tax from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter, who was Glaffler, who was having some fun with Nick this week, and Jay, It was kind of fun on Twitter. Ed the Letter Carrier, Magnum Magnificent, and Joanne NASA with the plan. That's all I got. I'm out of here. Bye.
See ya.
Great show, kids. One in a million. I gave you a second. You're too slow, man.
I'm too slow. Okay, gotcha. All right. Don't get cocky.
Yeah. You know, I will say this though. In Solo, I forgot to mention this. I thought at one point when Woody Harrelson was firing it, it'd been funny if he would have shot something and he said, "Great kid, don't get cocky," or something like that. Or "Great, don't get cocky." I thought it'd been funny.
I thought he was going to see what Chris wrote, but anyway, that's
yeah. Right. And Chris, you were right. I almost did say that when I was reading the email. I went. Wait, that's not it. All right, go back. Anyway, that's all I got. If you like, a 5-star review gets you a drawing.
Yeah, or an email, and you know, we like other topics too, like pop culture topics, yeah. Or you know, what we're eating. You know,
we could maybe do trivia next week. We haven't done trivia in a while.
We have not done trivia. That would be fun for a live show.
Yeah, give us a review of songs. Say, Nick, quit singing. I'll stop doing it.
No,
I've also given out the drawings in the chat for our live show. So if you join us in the live show, sometimes.
And I'm not going to reveal the ending tally of whether or not the Ramblecast will make a reappearance. But if you really want it to happen,
the Ramblecast is here right now.
I'm sorry, Media Junkyard, rather.
That's how much he loves it.
If you really want a reunion to happen, you should probably do your best to hunt down Rob.
So I knew Rob was the one that didn't. It wasn't.
It's always Rob. It.
Great anyway. Show, kids. 1 in a million.
Hasta luego. And goodbye.
See ya.
See you later.